Gemara in Daf Mem Amud Aleph in Pesachim quotes a memre from Rav Huna. The Tzekesh Shal Nochrim, if non-Jews were kneading dough, and they baked matzahs, and we can recognize by looking at the dough that it's not chometz, we're watching. We're all kneading dough at the same time, and it's the same temperature in the whole room, and we know that the matzahs that the non-Jews baked are not chometz. So we're permitted to eat them on Pesach, but you can't use it to be yotzei the mitzvah. Other mamalik reisim mehem, you're permitted to eat it to leil haseder, who will provide a chiyuch or kazayis matzah b'achreina. You have to eat a kazayis matzah that was made by a Jew. So you see from the Gemara, it appears from the Gemara that in order to be yotzei the mitzvah matzah, the matzah has to be made lishma, and a non-Jew is not able to create lishma. What's so difficult? How come a non-Jew cannot create lishma? The Gemara has such a din in Gittin that a get is only good to divorce with if the get was written with Shema. If a non-Jew writes the get, it's considered Shalom Shema. Why is it considered Shalom Shema? What is it? The Nochem have such a shvacha cup that they can't concentrate. What's so difficult? So there's a ritva on this daf that's very interesting. The ritva says, because the Nochem are not mitzuvah in the mitzvah of matzah, and whoever is Zeinu B'Torah, whoever is not obligated to fulfill a certain mitzvah, is unable to create the Shema. And it's a mazel that women are mukhiv and matzah, because throughout all the generations, the women used to bake the matzahs. And matzah should have really been considered a mitzvah sasesha as mangrama. Women should have been exempt. So if women would have been pater, so women wouldn't be able to make matzah either. Whoever is not mukhiv bedavar is not able to create lishma. That's the pashtus. That's what Rav Chaim writes in his sefer on the Rambam and Hilchos Gerushin. Rav Chaim quotes from the Dayan, Rav Simcha Zelig, was the Dayan in Brisk. I think he's the only person that he ever quotes in the Sefer, Rav Simcha Zelig. So he quotes that Rav Simcha Zelig pointed out in the Rambam, in Hilchos Gerushin, that if a non-Jew writes a get, it's not acceptable because it's Shalom Lishma. Why is it Shalom Lishma? Because the Nochri Zeinu B'Torah is Gittin Kiddushin. The Gemara says that an Eved Kenayni doesn't have Gittin Kiddushin. An Eved Kenayni doesn't have Tfisus Ishus at all. Amadayim El Hamar. Even a Nochri who has Tfisus Ishus doesn't have Gittin. The Yerushalmi has two opinions, whether the Nochem can get divorced, just balpeh, the husband and the wife can say goodbye and good luck, nice knowing you, and they walk away from each other, that's how the Rambam paskins. Or the other opinion in Yerushalmi is like the Catholic Church, who is Machmeh, that they can't get divorced at all. Once they get married, they're stuck for life, and they can't separate at all. But this Yerushalmi says for sure that there's no institution of a get, there's no Gerushin Miksav. So the Rav Chaim quotes from Rav Simcha Zelig, that from the Rambam would appear that the reason why a Nochri is not capable to create Lishma by a get is because the Nochri is Zeinu B'Torah's Gittin Kiddushin. Whoever is Zeinu B'Torah cannot create Lishma in that area. So that's what the Ritva says exclusively, and I doubt. That's why the Nochrim cannot create Lishma, because the Nochri is not Mitzuvah in the Mitzvah of Matzah. There is a Gemara in Gittin Daf Mem Hei Mabeis where the Gemara says that a woman... is a Jewish woman is puzzled for writing a mezuzah. Because in Chumash Dvarim we darshan smuchim, and Kol HaTarakula, if you have two dinim written in the same pasuk, that's called a hekesh. If you have two dinim written in two adjacent psukim, that's called smuchim. And that's a machlekes hatanaim in the beginning of Yevamis on Daf Hei, whether you darshan smuchim, whether you darshan the fact that one pasuk is next to the other pasuk. So the Gemara says, but in Chumash Dvarim, all the tanaim agree that you do darshan smuchim. We have many, 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 many drushes that are based on smuchim, many famous drushes that are based on smuchim. The whole institution that who gets malchus, one who violates a lav, which is similar to lo saksam shorvedisho. That's because in Chumash Dvarim, it says, v'hayom din akos ha-rosho, that pasuk is right next to the other pasuk, lo saksam shorvedisho. And you have many other drushes. So this is also one of the famous drushes. The pasuk in Kriya Shema, the two psukim read one next to the other, and the next pasuk says, so the Gemara darshan is tanoim, darshan in the brisa. Whoever is obligated to put on tefillin, Jewish men are obligated to put on tefillin after bar mitzvah, so they can write mezuzahs. But non-Jews, or ktanim, or cheresh v'shoite, or women who are not mechuyev to put on tefillin, are possible for writing mezuzahs. So the Gemara learns it out from that pasuk. Ukshatim achzaptem, the smuchim, ishi eshtem ikshir, yeshtem ikshir. So the Tesis on Adaf quotes a chiddush from the Rabbi Natam. Mikanoim Rabbi Natam, based on this Gemara, the Rabbi Natam establishes a din that a woman cannot tie tzitzis. since a woman is not obligated to fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis because it's a mitzvah saseh shahazman glomo, so therefore the women are possible for kshivas tzitzis. So Tosfos says, where do you see that in the Gemara? The Gemara needed a pasuk. The Gemara said there's a smukim of shatim of saftim. Where do you find the pasuk by tzitzis? How does Rabbi Natam derive from this Gemara? And then he asks furthermore, the Rabbi Natam is saying that it's a svara. Whenever a woman is potter from a mitzvah, so she's possible for making that cheftus or mitzvah. What about a sukkah that was made by a non-Jew? The Gemara said the first, that a sukkah that's made by a nachri is a kosher sukkah. I remember many years ago we used to have a conservative synagogue near our home. So the old rabbi in the conservative synagogue was a European fellow who spoke Yiddish, and he came to America, so he went to the seminary. He wasn't really conservative. But for Parnassus, so he was never a rabbi, so he became the rabbi in the conservative temple. But then after he retired, he was an old man, so they took a young whippersnapper, a young fellow who was all American, and he really studied at the seminary. He was really conservative. So the chazan, was a European chazan there, so the chazan didn't like the young rabbi. He thought he was really a shagun. The old one was a nice guy, and the young guy was no good. So he came once to our home on Sukkot with the shaila. He asks my father, apparently the sukkah fell down in the conservative temple, and the rabbi Kipaskin, the new rabbi Kipaskin, that the goy, the super, can put the sukkah back up again. So the chazan thought for sure that's no good. How can it be good? The goy made the sukkah. So he came to my father, and is going to go back to shul and tell him that the new rabbi Teutrish, that the sukkah is possible, because Rabbi Shechter said that it's no good. So he came to my father and asked him, what's the din? If a goy makes a sukkah, is it good? So my father asked, where is the sukkah? Tell me where the sukkah is. So he said, the sukkah is on the bima in the shul. The sukkah on the bima, and the chazan says kiddush in the sukkah. My father said the sukkah is no good because it's under the roof. So the chazan said, well, let's forget about that for the meanwhile. That is used to already, the sukkah under the roof. That's okay. Well, what about the fact that the goy built the sukkah? My father said, the Gemara says that that's good. A sukkah that's made by non-Jew is good. So that's what Tosfos asks on the Rabbeinu Tam. If the Rabbeinu Tam claims, mitzvah asvara, that any mitzvah, any person is potter from the mitzvah, a goy is potter from the mitzvah sukkah, and nonetheless, if he builds the sukkah, it is good. The Gemara said the Pharisee said it is good. So how can Rabbeinu Tam say that since the women are potter from the mitzvah of tzitzis, so the women are possible for tshivas at tzitzis? How does he get it? Nikana Rabbeinu Tam, how does he get it from the Gemara? It's a tella. So the Achrayim all explained that what the Rabbeinu Tam meant to say was the following. That a woman is possible for writing tefillin, that the Gemara never needed a pasuk for. The women are potter from tefillin, because it's a mitzvah says the Shas my grammar. So that's the svara pshuta, because ksivas tefillin has to be lishma, and women are reina b'toras mitzvahs tefillin, so whoever is reina b'toras can create lishma. The Gemara only needed a pasuk to tell me that women are possible for writing a mezuzah. Mezuzah they are mechleivin. The Mishnah Kedushin says women are mechleivin the mitzvah mezuzah. That's a mitzvah saseh shalayas man grammar. So for that, the Gemara needed a pasuk based on the smuchim. Kol sheyesh the mikshira, yesh the mikshiva. That since the women are potter from the mitzvah of tefillin, so the pasuk even for writing a mezuzah. But the premise of the Gemara, the given it, and what does the drasha tell me? That just like the women are pasuk for writing tefillin, the pasuk for writing tefillin because they're not mechleivin the mitzvah. So that lishma they cannot create. So the pasuk tells me that you put all three together, tefillin and mezuzah and sefer Torah, all three are treated in the same way, that since the women are possible, that the women are possible for writing tefillin, that we never needed a drasha for. The drasha is to teach me, even by mezuzah and even by sefer Torah, a mitzvah, the women do have a shaykhus by the mezuzah, they're even possible for that. So the Mela, the Rabbeinu Tam says, that by tying tzitzis, you have to tie it with shmoa, that's a big machlekes, but that's what the Rabbeinu Tam is assuming like that. Since you have to tie tzitzis lishma, and women are potter from tzitzis, because it's a mitzvah sesesh as my grandma, so since they're ain't a b'torah, so they cannot create lishma. The kasha from sukkah is not a kasha, because the Mishnah on Daf Tesem and Aleph and Sukkah quotes machlekes b'shame b'sil, where the construction of the sukkah needs lishma. So b'shame hold you need lishma. If you built a sukkah just for fun in the middle of the summer, a little house to have to play there, and then it happens to be a kosher sukkah, so b'shamah hold that it's no good. Sukkah has to be constructed in the shmah. But we don't pass like b'shamah, we pass like b'sivil. That the construction of the sukkah doesn't require the shmah. So if you don't need the shmah, so a goy can make the sukkah also, a woman can make the sukkah. The only time the Rabbeinu Tam says that whoever is ain't a b'toras is possible for the asiyah is when you need lishma. So whoever's in the Torah cannot create lishma. The same is by get, and the same is by the matzah.
So it's not really b'tanda. The b'tanda is the chiddush here is mezuzah, but it has nothing to do with mezuzah.
Right.
So
I think Mikan, I think what he means is the premise of the Gemara was that a woman for sure is possible for writing tefillin. And the Pasuk, the Smuchim, tells me that I treat mezuzah the same as tefillin. I
treat Mikan,
it's also Mikan. The Braisa there in Gittin of Hammond, they says that women are possible for ksivas, tefillin, mezuzah, and sefer Torah. But the Pasuk only talks about ksivas, mezuzah, how do you see? So the answer is no, that was given. That we knew before the smuchim, that women are possible for ksivas tefillin. We only need the smuchim, the drasha, to extend it to mezuzah as well. To treat tefillin, mezuzah, and sefer Torah as the same, but it starts off with the basic premise that whoever is enemy of Torah cannot create lishma.
Nachri, the same thing.
Yeah, whenever you need lishma, and the Nachri doesn't have, is not mechayev in that mitzvah, he cannot create lishma. But by sukkah, we pass like the sukkah, that you don't need asir lishma, so the Nachri can construct the sukkah. The sukkah in the temple is still possible because it's tachas habayis, but there's no psul of cotton. Cotton is a diun in the Avnei Nezer, because the Gemara says, as long as the sukkah was put up, the shame tzel, it's good. It doesn't have to be put, the Shammai required that it should be put up, the shame mitzvah. Chaka sukkah starts alachol, the shame mitzvoscha, the shame chayvoscha. And they still say, no, as long as it's put up, the shame tzel is good. So the Avnei Nezer raises a possibility, maybe a cotton is not able even to be mechav in the shame tzel. That's a pilpul, he's not sure.
This is a matzah for sure, is the same product.
This is in matzah, he cannot, yeah. Cotton is in the Torah, he cannot create lishma, that's right. Not everybody agrees that tzitzis needs lishma. The Rabbein Tam is assuming that tzitzis needs lishma. The Rambam holds you don't need lishma. The Gemara learns that from a pasuk that if a non-Jew ties, Tabel b'nei Yisrael v'matal and Yosu v'an tzitzis. B'nei Yisrael v'yosu, v'loi nochrim v'yosu. So the Gemara learns that from the pasuk that if a nochri ties tzitzis, it's puzzle. So the Torah is there in Gittin of them, Hema Beis, quotes the Rabbein Tam who understood that to mean that you need asir lishma, and the Nachri is Eina B'Torah, so that's why he can't create lishma. And the Meila, the same applies to an Isha. The Rambam holds that it's a special psul, and Nachri cannot type tzitzis, but you don't need lishma. The halacha doesn't require lishma. The Shabbos says he types tzitzis, an adult, a Jewish adult types tzitzis, and he doesn't say he's doing it lishma. Probably he has in mind lishma. What then is he tying tzitzis on? So the Mishnah Brura is machmer that whenever you need lishma, you need amira. That's a big machloikas, a big din in Rishonim. The Gemara talks about pigul. If you shech the carbon and you had machshava to eat it, chutz lizmana, chutz mekaymai. Chutz lizmana makes a pigul, chutz mekaymai makes a tussel. Or let's say the first Mishnah in Zvachim, a person shechs the carbon, shaloi lishma. He shechs a carbon chatos and he decides, well, I need it today for carbon pesach. Forget about chatos. I'll bring the chatas next week. He takes a korban chatas and he shechts the same korban pesach. He takes a korban pesach, shechts the same korban chatas. He knows what it is and he has in mind, I want to be able to do something else. So the Mishnah talks about the dinim of shechting korban shalol lishma. So the Rishonim have a machlokes and every other mesich that Tosfos raises this issue. What do you mean? Machsheves chutz lizmana, machsheves chutz mekon, machsheves shalol lishma. Machshove means machshove. The Gemara comments on the pasuk lo yechashu v'lo. Pigulhu lo yirotze. Lo yichashe means machshava, thinking, or machshava means dibur. So Taisus and Baba Metzia talks about it, and in Sochem, and in Zbochem, and in Shlichas Yad, right, in Kiddushin. They talk every other mesech that they raise the issue. So the Russian Hilchas Tfilin writes this idea, that if you hold that machshava shalol lishma means amira, it doesn't mean just machshava, machshava's pigul means amira, then the stomach when you need lishma by a get, or when you need lishma by writing tefillin, then you probably need amira also. But if you hold that over there, machshava means machshava, it doesn't mean amira, then machshava to be machshav something is probably also good enough with machshava. That's how the Rosh makes a hashvah. So the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Tzitzis is machmer very much about this. He says the machlokes Tosfos in the Rambam whether you have to tie the tzitzis lishma or not. Tosfos says you do need lishma, the Rambam says you don't need lishma. So in Shulchan Aruch, they quote that you should be machmir on that. And then on the Shaila, where they need amira or not, so when machmir, you need amira. So the Mishnah Berurah wants the pasul tzitzis, a person tied tzitzis on, he clearly had mind lishma. What then? He bought the tzitzis, he bought a talis, obviously it's lishma, but he didn't say he's doing it lishma. So the Mishnah Berurah wants to pass so, if you didn't say the amir that you're doing it lishma, maybe it's possible. The one who gave the hashkama, one of the rabbanim who gave the hashkama on the Mishnah Berurah, who wrote his Shavas HaTshuvos before the Mishnah Berurah was printed, writes in his sefer, I think the B'nai Tzion, Shavas HaTshuvos B'nai Tzion, he was the rabbi in Bilsk in Europe. So he has a tshuva he did before the Mishnah Berurah wrote his sefer. He says, no one ever came up with such a wild idea. How come not? So he says, of course it's good. If you tied the tzitzis and you didn't say explicitly you're doing lishma, of course it's good. But why don't you say like the Mishnah Berurah makes all say, give the whole tshuva, why you don't say like that? But now nobody reads the B'nai Tzion anymore. Everybody reads the Mishnah Berurah. This... No, the fellow who pushes the button says, I want to tie all the tzitzis lishma, so that would be good. Machine matzah. The question is, the Gemara talks about the difference between koyach rishon and koyach sheni. The Gemara says that for the purpose, there are three dinim that require koyach rishon, that require koyach gavra. Netilus yadayim needs koyach gavra. Shechita needs koyach gavra, and haretzeach is chayv nisa. If you murder someone, is only if he killed them with a koyach gavra. So the Gemara distinguishes in all three cases between koyach rishon and koyach sheni. What does it mean koyach sheni? So the Gemara gives a marshal. There's a reservoir full of water, and I pick up the dam, and the water starts flowing, and because the water flows, so let's say there's a wheel that the water is turning, and the wheel has knives on it, and then there's a conveyor belt for chickens, and every knife, the chickens are tied in such a way, the turkey's chicken tied in such a way, that every knife comes down and shafts the chicken, everything is done perfectly. So the Gemara discusses, is that called koyach gavra? If you pick up the dam, and the water flows. So the Gemara says, whatever was accomplished through koyach rishon is called koyach gavra. And whatever is koyach sheni is not called koyach gavra. What does it mean koyach rishon? What does it mean koyach sheni? So the Dvar Avram has a tshuva. It's very unclear in the Gemara. One of the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael wrote a whole sefer about this, Rav Levi Yitzchak Halperin, many years ago, 40 years ago, wrote a whole sefer. What's called Koyach Rishon? What's called Koyach Sheni? But the Dvar Avram has a famous tshuva, Kov Nerov. So he writes, he thinks that pshat is like this. If you pick up the dam and you put it down right away, you just pick it up for 2 seconds and you put it down, how much would the water have accomplished? So whatever would have been accomplished by picking up and putting it down right away, that's called Koyach Rishon. But if you pick up the dam and you leave it up and then it keeps on flowing, to say that, so that's called, everything that's accomplished later is called Koyach Sheni. So that's the Shaila, that's what the Dvar Avram wants to say. If you push a button and you start the whole mechanical system, so if you would have stopped it, you would have pushed the stop button 2 seconds after you pushed the start button, so how much would have been accomplished? Zero. How many matzahs are baked in if you stop the electricity, right? Nothing. How many tzitzis would be tied? Nothing would be tied. So he thinks that that's all called koyach sheni. The fact that the whole system continues, and koyach sheni is not called ma'isa ha'adam, and if it's not ma'isa ha'adam, then it can't be called the shema. The shema means asiyah the shema. The person did a ma'isa, and that ma'isa that he did was considered the shema. So this analysis that the Dvar Avram has is disputed. The Chazon Ish, and the Kozhuglov who was killed by the Nazis in the Warsaw Ghetto, he was the Rabbi Kozhuglov before the First World War. And then after the First World War, he had no more Rabbanis. Kozhuglov didn't exist anymore. So then when the Lublin Rabbi years later founded his yeshiva in Lublin, so he invited him to be the Magid Shir. He gave Shurim there are still people alive who remember learning by the Kozhuglov. The sixth floor in the Gottesman Library was dedicated in memory of the Kozhuglov by his brother. I guess he must have been a Torah Madanim. So they have his picture there. They have a picture of the Kozhuglov over there. And his brother gave a major donation to the yeshiva to dedicate 5A in memory of his brother. So he has a tshuva where he writes the same as the Chazon Ish. He says, the only time there's a difference between Koyach Rishon and Koyach Sheni is when the water is in a reservoir, and there's water pressure pushing down, and I pick up the dam, and then Mamela, the water pressure is pushing down, pushes the water like this. Well, what if it's not a case like that? What if, let's say, I take a bucket of water, and I turn it sideways, and it takes a few moments till all the water goes out. But I turn the whole thing sideways. So even the continued flow is also considered koyach rishon. That's not called koyach sheni. Koyach sheni doesn't relate to me.
The other word.
is only I pick up the dam and the water would have been pushing out anyway if not for the dam holding it back. So that's what they both write about machine matzahs and about machine tzitzis, that that's not kol kerch sheni. They hold that that's kol kerch rishon. And then the Chazon Ish has another taina that he thinks that this din that we distinguish between kerch rishon and kerch sheni, how much would have been accomplished if you would pick up the dam just for 3 seconds and put it back down? So how much the water would have gone and would have shechted one or two chickens, that's all. So the first couple of chickens are kol kerch av and the rest of them are not. So he taines, that's only, this distinction between kerch rishon and kerch sheni only applies in these three cases. The Gemara only has it in the three cases, by netilas yadayim, and by shechita, and by the chiyuv nisa for etzeah, because the halacha requires in these three cases kerch gavur. But in other cases, there's no requirement for kerch gavur, you just need maisa ha'adam. So the Chazon Ish writes, maisa ha'adam it is anyway. Even if it's kerch sheni, it's also maisa ha'adam. Even if it would have really been kerch sheni. He thinks it is Maisa Hodim. So then he quotes a Tosfos in Bava Kamma, says, not so. Tosfos in Bava Kamma, Dav Vav Amud Bey, he says, Ve'ema Mavazu Hamayim. The Mishnah in the beginning of Bava Kamma lists off Abba Abbas and Zik, and Shar Bar Mavah Hever, and the Gemara is not sure what the word Mavah means. So the Gemara says, maybe the word Mavah means a person made a Hezek Ayidei Mayim. So the Gemara says, no, it's not mine. Either Mavah is Shen, or Mavah is Ha'odom. But Mavah is not mine. So Tosfos asks, what kind of a mazik are you mind? What did he do? If he made the hezik with the kerch rishon, so it's all about mazik. If he made the hezik with the kerch sheni, shetaka bipata. So what's the case talking about? So Tosfos works on the kasha. So the Chazon Ish disagrees with the Tosfos. What do you mean? He made the hezik are you kerch sheni, so it's not called all about mazik. It's also all about mazik. That halacha that kerch sheni doesn't count, that's only in those three cases, by Ritzeach and by Shechita and by Netilas Yadayim, the Gemara says you need a special halacha there of Kerech Gavur, which is something over and above Maisa Ha'adam. But if you talk about an Adam HaMazik, you're talking about Asiya Lishma. You have to make Tzitzis Lishma, you have to make the Matzah Lishma. Who says you need Kerech Gavur? You need Maisa Ha'adam, the person made the Tzitzis Lishma. So he says if you push a button and it goes for 12 hours, that's all Maisa Ha'adam. Why should you say that the even if it would have been kerch sheni, he thinks that it's not true. He thinks that a system that you push a button, that's called kerch rishon. He doesn't even think that it's kerch sheni. But he says, even if it would have been kerch sheni, he thinks kerch sheni is called maisa ha'adam anyway, and it is considered asiya lishma. That's why there are many who are mahadar dafkit to use machine shmur as opposed to yin shmur, because yin shmur takes much longer. Machine shmur is much, much faster. So you want to have shima mechimetz. So they're
say 18 minutes. So the fast
one
is
1 minute,
and the slow ones are 3 minutes. So why are we so worried?
Nothing to worry about. The Rashba writes in the Tshuva, this is quoted on the bottom of the tour, that Dr. Moshe quotes. The Rashba writes in the Tshuva that he remembers when he was a student by the Ramban, that he was learning in Barcelona, so the Ramban didn't have an oven to bake in. They used to bake down the block. In the Goy's oven, they would rent the right to use it. So they would knead the matzahs in the Ramban's home, and they would walk outside in the street with the raw matzahs on top of them, in the summer shining. They would walk down the block, they wouldn't run, and at the end of the block, they would go into the Goy's bakery and they would bake the matzahs. So Rabbi Shevel Zechon Levracha, who published different editions of the Ramban, also put out a biography of the Ramban. So before he put out the biography, he figured maybe he'll go to Barcelona to see. Everything is still there, the bakery is still there, and the Ramban's home is still there, and it's quite a walk. He says, it takes a few minutes to walk down the block. And it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. The Mishnah Berurah quotes this from the Darkei Moshe, the Shulchan Aruch. He used to knead the dough in the Ramban's home, and he walked in the street, and the sun was shining. It wasn't burning hot. The sun was shining. And
the Mishnah Berurah quotes
that Ramban, too? Yeah, he quotes this Shulchan Aruch. Yeah. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch that after you knead the dough, you should be memahir to bake it. So what does it mean, mimahir? So the Chazon Ish says, mimahir means less than 18 minutes. That's all. It doesn't mean anything more than that. But people are usually mehadah. They want to get that it should be baked fast. So there is a famous Tosfos in connection with this. There is a Tosfos in Gittin, Daf Tes on the base. The Gemara talks about a get that was signed by Nochrim. The Eidei Hasim are not Jewish. So Tosfos gives four different reasons why the get is possible. So they write, one reason is that the Nochri is posulatus. Another reason is that the husband has to appoint the sefer as a shliach That's already a big dispute, but Taisa says the husband has to appoint the sefer as a shliach to write the get, and he has to appoint the chiddush on top of the chiddush, he has to appoint the eidim as his shluchim to sign the get. The eidim are his shluchim? The husband appoints the sefer as a shliach to write the get. That's a halva tzar, because it says in the chumash, because of the law sefer krisus. It says the husband has to write. So who is the sefer? It says one opinion in Taisus, a big Taisus has an achlein. One opinion in Taisus, the husband has to appoint the sefer as a shliach. But to say the husband has to appoint the eidim as a shliach, he can't. What do you mean? How are they shluchim? That's what Taisus writes. And a goy cannot serve as a shliach for a Jew. So that's the second reason. Then Taisus gives a third and a fourth reason why a nochri is not good to sign a get. So they say a third reason is that the eidim have to sign the shema, and a nochri cannot do anything l'shma. And a fourth reason why it's no good is because the goy is eidim b'toras git mikedush. Whoever is eidim b'toras can't sign. So the way we're saying from the Ritva and Rav Chaim, these are not two distinct reasons. Whoever is eidim b'toras cannot create the shema. It's the same reason. It's not two different reasons. But Taisus there says not so. The Taisus in Gittin, the person and base, is of the opinion that these are two distinct reasons. The Gemara there, Mem Amud Aleph, raises an issue. Is it sufficient if you have... What does it mean, Shmura Matzah? What does it mean, Shmura Matzah? Shmura Matzah, if a non-Jew makes the matzah, so it's no good, because the Nochri cannot create the Shmo. So apparently that's learned up in the Pasuk. Shmarta Mesa Matzah, the word Shmarta means Asiya L'Shmo. You see that from the Gemara earlier, the Mishnah about eating matzah appears on Lamed Hei Omer Aleph. What kind of grain do you have to use? And what if it's a matzah shal truma? What if it's a matzah shal maizah sheni? And then the Mishnah ends off. What if the matzah is chalas toida rikiki nozir? Somebody baked matzahs that should be brought to the Beis HaMikdash in conjunction with karbonas, certain karbonas. And then we have the matzahs left over. They never used it for the karbonas. The matzahs are left over. And they're kosher l'Pesach matzahs. It's not kumish, it's matzah. Can you use that for the mitzvah of matzah on Leil HaSeder? So the Mishnah makes a distinction. If I made the matzah for myself, I plan to bring it, I'm a nazir, and I baked the matzah for my rikike nazir to bring with my korban, my shalmei nazir, or I wanted to bring a korban toida, so I bake matzah shal matzah, as opposed to matzah shal chametz, I bake pesach to get matzahs for my korban toida, so then the Mishnah says I cannot use it for Leil HaSeder. But if I'm a baker, I live in Yerushalayim, I have a bakery, and I make matzahs, whoever wants to buy. I put up a big shingle, whoever wants to buy matzahs, chalas toida, rikike nozer, I have matzahs. So if I made it, limkor bashuk, to sell asom, limkor bashuk, then if I have left over on Leil HaSeder, then I can be yoytze with it. So the Gemara is, what is this? Halacha Moshe Misinan. It doesn't make any sense. The Gemara asks on the bottom of Lamed Ches on the base. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to try to give any explanation. But we don't have such a halacha Moshe Misinai. It must be a svara. What's the svara? So the Gemara says, no, the svara is like this. If I bake the matzahs for myself, I have full control over the whole situation. So I plan really to use these matzahs for my shalmei nazir, or for my korban toida. And then something came up, and I never got to bring the korban toida, never brought to shalmei nazir. Now I want to use it for Pesach night, for the Seder. So the Gemara says that's no good because that's a lack of lishma. The matzahs for the Seder have to be baked lishma because it says that's the top line on Lamed Ches on the base. The pasuk says shmarta mesam matzahs. You have to have matzah mishtameres l'shem matzah. Yossi Suzu, that this matzah was made for the shalmei nazir or for the chalas toida. It was made for a different purpose. It wasn't made for the mitzvah. But if I make it limka bashuk, so I always know that I may have left over. Whatever's left over, I'm going to use it for my own purposes. I had in mind from the very outset, whatever I'll sell to the customers, they should be made for chalas toida rikike nozer. Whatever will be left behind, I'll be able to use for myself in the mitzvah matzah. So you see from the Gemara B'Ferish that the din is that the shmura matzah for the Leil HaSeder has to be made lishma, and that's the reason why it says in Mem Aleph that if the nochri needed the matzah, the nachri baked the matzah, it's not acceptable. You can't use it for the matzah's mitzvah because it's lacking lishma.
So
he says whatever's left over I'm going to use for the Seder.
Also he says I'm making these for a carbon X or
No, we assume that Chalasadim King Kenazah don't need the Asiyah B'Shmah. That's a Machlokes and Achrayim. That's a Machlokes and Achrayim. So we assume those don't need the Asiyah B'Shmah. Only Matzah Sholei LaSeda needs the Asiyah B'Shmah. So if he's baking for himself, so he only has it. He didn't think he's going to have left over. He's making it for the Chalasadim King Kenazah. So he didn't make it B'Shem Matzah Mitzvah. But if he's making it Lidka Bashuk, so then he says, if there's anything left over, I'm going to use it for the Seder. Okay, if he says I have a mind that's left over, he can use it for himself. Also, he can also use it for the mitzvah. Right? So the Mishnah Berurah discusses. See, this is out of style now. This kind of discussion. The first question the Primogodim asks on every single din in Shas is this a din d'oraita or is this a din d'rabbanan? And the Mishnah Berurah quotes a lot from the Primogodim. So also on every page in the Shulchan Aruch, he's going to discuss is this a din d'oraita or is this a din d'rabbanan? So the Mishnah Berurah raises, he starts a whole Bir Halacha discussion over here. This din that you need, baking the matzah b'shma, is this a din d'oraita, is this a din d'rabban? So he says, you look in the Rambam, it's machlokes achrayim. So he says, it can't be a machlokes, it's wrong, it's incorrect. The Rambam writes b'feirush that it's a din d'oraita. Of course, the Pirush HaMishnayis and the Rambam and the Mishnah Torah. This din is really learned out from the Pasuk, this is not an asmachta. Ushmartem es ha-matzoh is that you need a seal lishma. That's a real drosh gemura d'oraita, and the chalastoy d'rikiki knows that he made it himself is no good, it's no good ben atzer. But then the Gemara has a discussion, maybe you need shmura matzah, shmura mishas ketzira. Maybe when you harvest it from the ground, you have to be careful that it shouldn't get rained on. Shmura mishas ketzira, yeah. So what is that din? So the Gemara has a pilpul about it. Then the Gemara says it's not conclusive whether you require Shmur Mishas Ketzira, and Rabba was Machmir. Afilo Hachi, the Gemara says Rabba originally said you need Shmur Mishas Ketzira. Then he sort of was a little shaky about it. He wasn't sure. Then the Gemara said, but he didn't back out because when they were harvesting the grain, he told them they should be careful. He's going to use it for the matzahs, for the seder. So the Gemara is the bottom line on that. The Gemara says, Alma, what do you see that you need Shmur Mishas Ketzira? So many Rishonim hold that this is only a chumah. Mikra din, you really don't need Shmur Mishas Ketzira. That's why in America, when they started the matzah companies 100 years ago, I don't know, whenever they started the matzah factories, so the Rabbanim at that time said they should make all the matzah l'shem mitzvahs matzah. They have Jews pushing the buttons, and when they push the buttons and it goes, it bakes matzahs for 12 hours, all half a day. So they bake all the matzahs l'shem mitzvahs matzah because most of the Jews in America are not going to use the shmur mishas ketzira. They're going to use their regular matzahs. So mikra din we pass them that really all you need is asiyah l'shma mishas lisha v'afiyah and that's good enough. And the shmur mishas ketzira, that's a hider, that's a chumah. So the Mishnah Berurah discusses according to this opinion that we're choshish for that you need shmur mishas ketzira. Is this also their raisa or is that the rabbanon? So he says this is probably only the rabbanon. Asiya lishma that you need the lisha vafiya from the time that you do the kneading and the aricha when you have the rolling pin and you stretch it out and then you have the things that make the hole and you shape it and you put it in the oven, that's all called asiya samatzah. So asiya samatzah has to be done lishma. That's a bona fide roshid mura shmartem samatzah, that the matzah has to be made lishma. But this din that you need shmur mishas ketzira, that's not called asiya lishma. What, the harvesting from the ground is not the asiya. And the grinding it up to make flour is not the asiya. The nesina samayim, that's the beginning of the asiya. When you have flour and you mix it with water, the nesina samayim, with the lisha, with the aricha, with the making of the holes, with the reda, with the putting into the oven, that's called the asiya samatzah. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Taz and from other pasukim. There's a big difference between the two. If the Nesina Samayim is done by a non-Jew, and there are Jews watching, it's done under supervision, but the Asiya, actual Asiya, is done by a non-Jew, so it doesn't help if you have Yisrael Oymer Al-Gabov. The actual Asiya has to be done Lishma. So the one who's doing the Nesina Samayim has to be a Jewish person who's after Bar Mitzvah, the Vados, he has to do the Asiya Lishma. The Ketzira is normally not done by Jews. The Ketzira is done by non-Jews with Mashgichim watching, supervising. Why do we distinguish between the Nesina Samayim and the Ketzira? So he says, because it's not the same thing. Shmur Mishas Ketzira means Shima Mechimot. You should be careful it shouldn't turn into Chometz. It's far-fetched. It hardly ever turns into Chometz before you grind it up and you make flour out of it. After you harvest it, you leave it on the ground. Even if it rains, the rain is going to roll off. It's not really going to become, it's rare that it's going to become chametz. If it became chametz, of course, you can't use it for the matzah, but it's far-fetched that it's going to become chametz. So this is a chumra. If you say you need shmur mishas ketzira, that's not asiyah lishma, that's shima mechimut. So shima mechimut, if a non-Jew is doing the ketzira and the Jews are watching, they're supervising, so that's good enough for shima mechimut. As opposed to the other din is a real din deraisa. That you need asiyah lishma, but asiyah lishma is only needed when it's called asiyah sa'alechem. Asiyah sa'matzah is the nesina sa'mayim with the lisha, with the asiyah, with the aricha. That's what he draws a distinction. One is a din deraisa, one is a din derabbanan, and one is a din asiyah lishma, and one is a din of shima mechimut. Two different dinim. Hechshemitz. Yeah. Well, the asiyah sa'matzah is also hechshemitz, but at least from the nesina sa'mayim on, that's called the Asiya Samatsa. That has to be done with Shema.
So it's also Hechshemitzvah.
Right. The Netziv has a Chiddush that whenever there's a Hechshemitzvah HaKosa Batora, let's say detaching the Esrik from the ground is not described in the Chumash. It's self-understood that if it's still attached to the tree, it can't be out to the Mitzvah of Lulav, so you have to detach it. But we don't say Mitzvah Bo Yosef and B'shluchi, you should detach it from the ground. And when you make a pair of tefillin, so you have to slaughter the animal, then you have to remove the skin, and then you have to treat the hide and make it into parchment. So there is no din mitzvah bo yosef b'shlucho. You can get another Jew to do it as well. The writing of the tefillin, that says, uchsavtem al mezuzas b'seichel b'shirach, the writing, that's a hechshem mitzvah hakosav ater. But the rest of the hachonis, we wouldn't apply mitzvah bo yosef b'shlucho. For the hachonis that say in chumash, we would apply. So since it says, Ushmartem es hamatzos, and the Chazal have a tradition that refers to asiyas hamatzos lishmo, so that's taka mitzvah bo yosef b'shlucha, that it's preferable if a person has time, it's a hidden mitzvah, should go do the asiyas hamatzos himself. Shouldn't just buy the matzah from the bakery. If people have time, they should go do it in the sinas hamayim, or the elisha, or the aricha, or the afia. Mitzvah bo yosef b'shlucha. This Mishnah that we just quoted on Lamed Hey, Amid Aleph, talks about using Chalas Toida Rikiki Nozer. When were the Chalas Toida baked for the Korban Toida? Korban Toida, there are four types of Chalas. Three are Matzah, and one is Chomesh. So the Gemara says on Daf Yud Gimel Amid Beis that it's obvious you cannot bring a Korban Toida on Pesach, because one of the meaning is Chomesh. Not only can you not bring on Pesach, the Gemara interprets in the Brisa that you cannot even bring a Korban Toida on Erev Pesach, because you've been ma'it in Nizman Achila. That's why on Erev Pesach we don't say Mizman L'Soida. This year Erev Pesach is Shabbos, so on Shabbos you don't say Mizman L'Soida anyway, because you can't bring a Korban Toida on Shabbos. And on Erev Shabbos, it's not Erev Pesach this year. We're going to do a lot of things on Erev Shabbos, but you say Mizman L'Soida this year on Erev Shabbos, because it's not Erev Pesach. But on a normal Erev Pesach, Shechol Yis B'chol, we leave out Mizman L'Soida, because that's a day on which one would not be permitted to bring a Korban Toida, because the Korban Toida is only Nechol Yom V'Laylo Ad Chatzos. And if you bring the Korban Toida Erev Pesach in the morning, the 10 of the 40 Chalas are Chomets dips, so they can only be eaten for a couple of hours into the day. You can't eat it Yom V'Laylo Ad Chatzos. So you might in this Man Achila, and you may cause it to become puzzle. So the Gemara says, you're not allowed to bring a Korban where you're causing it to have a shorter period of the Ma'it and the Zman Achila. So when the Mishnah talks about using Chalas Toida Rikiki Nozir for Matzah, when did he bake the Chalas Toida Rikiki Nozir? He baked it on Erev Pesach after Chatzos. The fellow baked the Chalas Toida on Erev Pesach after Chatzos. And when he's going to bring the Korban Toida? Next week. He's going to put it in the freezer. He probably baked the Chalas Toida last week. Probably baked it last week. They didn't bake it on Erev Pesach after Chatzos. So that's what Rashi says. Rashi, we don't have this Rashi on the Gemara. They quote this. The Rishonim quote it in the name of Rashi. You learn the Masechta. You learn the first 119 blot in the Masechta. So you keep on getting the impression that there is no requirement that the matzahs have to be baked on Erev Pesach after Chatzos. The Chavos Toida sounds like it was baked a week before. But then you get the Kuf Chof on the days. The Masechta ends on Kuf Chof Alos on the days. You get to the bottom of Kuf Chof on the days. Omar Rove, Ochal Matzah Bizman HaSeh Lach HaChatzos. What's the din if you eat the matzah Leil HaSeder after midnight? Is that okay or not? So the Gemara here on Kuf Chof on the days has a whole passage, a whole 20 lines. The Mishnah says that you cannot eat Korban Pesach after Chatzos. You have to finish eating the whole Korban Pesach by midnight. So the Gemara quotes that some Machlokes, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, they were contemporaries, whether that's a din d'oraisa, din d'rabbanan. That was observed for many years, apparently. Rabbi Akiva said that's only a gzera mid d'rabbanan. In our Torah, you can really eat the Korban Pesach all night long. Why they make such a gzera d'rabbanan? So we learned in the beginning of Brachas, because they lahachik to Sodom and Averim. If it will allow people to eat the Korban Pesach all night long, up until Alois HaShach. Alois HaShach is around 2 hours before sunrise. It's pitch black outside. No one, you can't really discern. It's hard to tell that it's Alois HaShach. So somebody by mistake may continue to eat the Korban Pesach even after Alois HaShach, in which case it will be Nifsal Belina, and it will be an Issa Kuris. It's nicer. So Kedei L'Hachi Kesodim and Aver, we want to protect people from violating the Issa of Achilas Noisa, so we don't permit them to eat the Korban Pesach after midnight. Rav Elazar ben Azar disagrees, and he says, no, that the din of Chatzos is a din d'oraisa, learned out from the Pasuk, V'achlas habasa balayla hazeh, and that phrase, balayla hazeh, has the connotation of Chatzos, just like the other Pasuk says, V'avarta b'yaretz mitzayim balayla hazeh, v'kesa kol b'chor b'yaretz mitzayim v'yodam ad behema, and there it means Chatzos, is up to over here, V'achlas habasa balayla hazeh means Chatzos. So according to Rav Elazar ben Azar, it's a din d'oraisa that the Korban Pesach must be eaten by Chatzos. So Rava makes a statement and he says, what about Bizman Hazeh? No one has any Korban Pesach. The Meduber is about eating matzah Bizman Hazeh. Can you eat the matzah after Chatzos? So Rava says it depends. If you should assume the din is like Rav Elazar ben Azariah, that min haTorah, the matzah, the Korban Pesach must be finished by Chatzos. So the Pasuk makes a hekesh, Pasuk puts together, a matzah samroim yachlu, should eat the Korban Pesach in conjunction with matzah mar. So if the din by the Korban Pesach is that you have to eat it by Chatzos, so that carries over to the matzah also. The matzah in the mar, you have to finish eating by Chatzos. But if the din would be like Rabbi Akiva, that Chatzos is only a gzerim ed rabbanon by the Korban Pesach, so they only made that chumer by Korban Pesach. There's no reason to assume they made the chumer by matzah. So then you would be permitted to eat the matzah after Chatzos. So Rabbi leaves it hanging. He Rabbi does that. How do you paskin? So do you paskin like Rabbi Akiva? Do you paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Azar? So Rava left it up to Tesis. The Tesis has the Machlekes. Tesis over here. And Kuf Chaf on the base has the long Tesis. And Tesis and Megillah has the two opinions. There were a group of the Baliyat Tesis thought that we should paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Azar, that Chatzos is Menat Torah. And maybe you have to finish eating the matzah by Chatzos. And then Tesis had Zan, Tesis and Megillah, the end of the third Perek. Yeah. Good kasha? I don't know. That's a good kasha. You have to look in the Rishon. Sounds like a very good kasha. You have to look in the Rishon. Maybe it's only like Pesach Mitzrayim. How does he know? I don't know. So Tosfos writes in Megillah that, Tosfos quotes the Stam Mishnas like Rav Elazar ben Azar. Sounds like we pass like Rav Elazar ben Azar. So Tosfos writes in Megillah, not only the matzah in the beginning of the meal when you said the bracha shekadishanim, not only do you have to eat that matzah before Chatzos, you have to even finish the Afikoman before Chatzos. Why? Because this is a big question, what is Afikoman supposed to represent? So Tosfos Shita is, Afikoman is the Ikka Mitzvah's matzah. Even though you say the bracha alachilos matzah at the beginning of the meal, everybody has in mind that we're not yotzeh with that. We really have in mind to be yotzeh with the matzah that we're going to eat at the end of the meal. So since that's the Ikka Mitzvah's matzah, if you pass them like Rav Elazar ben Azar, that Chatzos is a din d'oraisa, it carries over from Korban Pesach to the matzah. You have to finish the Afikoman by Chatzos. What about the Abakosis? What about the benching? What about the Hallel and the drinking of the fourth kos? So Tosfos is in Megillah is not concerned about that. They're only worried about the matzah and Afikoman. That's as far as it goes. The Ran, the last line in the Ran, in that Perek, in the third Perek in Megillah. What is it, the third Perek? In Megillah, the fourth Perek.
Megillah,
there are four Prokim, yeah.
But,
yeah. So I forgot already which, the Tosfos is in Megillah Chaf Aleph, and the Ran is the last line in that Perek, I forgot, either the second Perek or the third Perek, I'm not sure. So the last line in the Ran, he says that you should, and the Ramah quotes this in Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah quotes the Ran. He thinks that not only does it apply, the Chatzos, not only does it apply to the Afikoman, to the Matzah Afikoman, It applies to all the abakaisis, because when we require Rochelos Habasa Balayla Hazeh, it doesn't only go on the Korban Pesach and on the Matzah and the Maror, it goes on the abakaisis as well. Like the Tesis writes over here on Tzadik Tes on the days. The Tesis commenting on the opening Mishnah in Arvid Stochim, so the Mishnah says that you can't begin the Seder Atche Techshach. What's the significance of Atche Techshach? So Tosfos writes, if I'm asked for Techshach, and another Shabbos and Yom Tov, you can be Moshe Mechoy Lala Kodesh, and the Gemara says you can make Kiddush when the sun is still shining. Now Pesach night, you have to begin the Seder after Pesach Kochavim. Why? Because the Korban Pesach cannot be eaten, this is Tosfos Chiddush. Korban Pesach cannot be eaten during this man of Tosefes, Yom Tov, not all the Rishonim agree. If you look in the Tosfos of Yud HaChasid and Brachas, on that Gemara, on Daf Chav Zayin in the base, where the Gemara says you can say Kiddush on Friday when the sun is still shining. So the Tesh Rabbi Yudah Chassid writes, he thinks the same is true for Korban Pesach. You can't eat the Korban Pesach mibol yom if you're not mekabel yomtiv. But if you're mekabel yomtiv, so just like you can say Kiddush, he thinks you can have the whole Agoda, you can finish Chad Gadya when the sun is still shining, you can finish the whole Seder. If you're mekabel yomtiv, it's not a problem. But that's not the accepted opinion. In Shulchan Aruch, they don't even quote that Tesis of Yud HaChassid. They just quote this Tesis on Tzadik Tes and Beis. That's out of the question. You can't eat the Korban Pesach Nibod Yom on Erev Pesach, even if you Mekabel Tosefes Yontif. You have to eat the Korban Pesach Balayla. And then they say the same is true regarding Matzah Morah, and the same is true regarding Abakaisis, it says. You shouldn't begin to say Kiddush on Leil Pesach until Tzeisah Kehovim. Why? Because the Kiddush is the first of the Abakaisis, and the Abakaisis, you have to fulfill the mitzvah of Abakaisis in the same time that you have to fulfill the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. So if they say it, then you get to the beginning of the first kais, you shouldn't drink the first kais of the Abakaisis until Tzeisah Kochavim. So the Ram says it, then you get to the fourth kais, that you shouldn't have the fourth kais after Chatzais. Just like you should finish the Matzah and the Maror before Chatzais, you should finish all Abakaisis. The Abakaisis have the same zman achila as the matzah, and the matzah has the same zman achila as the Korban Pesach. Everything has the same zman. So the Gemara on Kuf Chaf on the base has this comment. If the din would be like Rav Lozer ben Azariah, the Gemara doesn't say whether the din is or not. If we should accept the opinion of Rav Lozer ben Azariah that you can only fulfill the mitzvah of Korban Pesach min HaTorah, if you eat it before Chatzos, so that then carries over to Matzah as well, because there's Iskish, there's a Hekish between Matzah and Korban Pesach. So now the Rishonim quote Rashi. He says, the whole Mesichta, from the beginning till Daf Kuf Chav, we all worked on the assumption, you can bake the Matzahs 5 months in advance. That's when they do. They finished baking all the Matzah a long time ago. The Matzah factories, they finished baking all the Matzah. Rashi says, when you get to Daf Kuf Chav on the base, you come to the realization that there's a hekesh between matzah and Korban Pesach, b'negeir to the zman. So the Gemara is only talking about the zman achilas matzah. The zman achilas matzah should be identical with the zman of the achila of the Korban Pesach. So Rashi claims the zman of the hachonas matzah, the zman of afiyas matzah, should be the same zman as shchitas ha-pesach. But since shchitas ha-pesach can only be erev Pesach after chatzos in the afternoon, so you can only be yotze with matzahs that you baked on erev Pesach in the afternoon. If you take the matzahs before, you're not yotze the mitzvah. Adin min haTorah. In our generation, only the Hasidim do it. The Misnagdim don't do it because the Vilna Gaon makes fun of it in Shulchan Aruch. But this was the practice in the days of the Balei HaTosfos. All the Balei HaTosfos bake the matzah and Erev Pesach afternoon because of the Shitas Rashi. So the Rishonim raised the question, look in the Mordechai at the end of the first perek in Sochim and Simen Tov Kuf Mem Gimel, they quote that the Rash Mishant was asked the question, what do you do this year? When Erev Pesach Holi is B'Shabbos, when are you going to bake the matzah? When would you bring the Korban Pesach on Shabbos afternoon? Shchitas HaPesach is Deicha Shabbos. What are you going to say? Afiyas HaMatzah is Deicha Shabbos. That's ridiculous. That's what Rav Soloveitchik always used to make fun of the Hasidic practice to bake the matzah on Erev Pesach. They would always chuckle, and they would always say, what are they going to do when Erev Pesach? They're going to bake the matzah on Shabbos? Of course not. They see that the whole thing is wrong. So the Rash Mishan says you have to bake the matzah on Matzoi Shabbos. If you bake it on Erev Shabbos, you're not Yotze. I bet it says in the Tosefta, the Feirish, that when Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, you bake the matzah on Erev Shabbos. No, the Tosefta goes on the matzah you're going to eat on Chalamayim for the last day's Pesach. The matzah you're going to eat by the Seder you have to bake on Motzei Shabbos. What does that help? You can't bring the Korban Pesach on Motzei Shabbos. That's still no good. Rashi said, the whole reason why Rashi said you have to bake the matzah is because of the hekesh between the Korban Pesach and the matzah. And not only does the hekesh apply to the Zman HaAchila, the Rashi claims it applies to the Zman HaChonas HaMatzah also. You have to bake the matzah and Erev Pesach after Chatzos, like you have to shech the Korban Pesach, Erev Pesach after Chatzos. But you can't bring the Korban Pesach Balayla, but Leil Pesach you can't shech the Korban Pesach. So why should you think that you can bake the matzahs on Leil HaSeder? So they point out, if you look in Rashi and Tzachim in the beginning of Perek Eilu Dvorim, on Dav Samachem Abeis, Eilu Dvorim discusses when Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, and you shech the Korban Pesach is Becha Shabbos, so what about the broiling of the Korban Pesach? You also do on Shabbos. It says, no. There's no need to broil the Korban Pesach on Shabbos. You can broil it on the Torah Shabbos, on Leil HaSeder. So that you're not allowed to do. What do you do? Haktoris Emurim, you are the Olam. Why are you Makta the Emurim? Let's say you bring the Tmidim Umasafim on Shabbos. You bring the Tmidim Umasafim. The din is that you can be Makta the Emurim after Havdalah. So why do you Makta the Emurim on Shabbos? So the Gemara says in the end of Anachas Chaviva Mitzvah the Shaita. Since Shabbos is Nitan the Hidachah is for the purpose of Hakrobas Tmidim Umasafim, and it's more correct is always to do the Haktoris Emurim immediately. Even though it's Shabbos and it's a malacha, we permit you and we recommend you should do the Haktoris Emurim. So the same when Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, so the Mishnah says Haktoris Emurim is Doicha Shabbos. If you wouldn't bring the Emurim on Shabbos, it would also be good. You can burn the Emurim Balayla on Leil Pesach. But Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita, so we do the Haktoris Emurim on Shabbos. But the Tzliyas HaPesach, the broiling, that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, that you do on Matzoi Shabbos. So Rashi writes on the Mishnah, why is the Shechitas HaPesach is a Moloch and the Tilus Neshama? It's one of the Lamites of his Molochas. Why is Shechitas HaPesach Decha Shabbos? So he says, because you can't wait till Matzoi Shabbos. Why can't you wait till Matzoi Shabbos? So that's what we would have said. So Rashi doesn't say like that. Rashi gives a different reason. He should have said, because the Shechitas HaPesach has to be on the 14th of Nisan Bein Harbayim. And at night is the 15th of Nisan. So Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says the reason why it's no good because there's a general din that no karbonis can be, the avodas hadam of karbonis cannot be done by Laila. Some avodas may be done by Laila. Haktoris Emurim can be done by Laila. Nisach Hayayin may be done by Laila. Some avodas hakarbonis can be done by Laila. But the dalet avodas hadam, the shechita kabbalah halacha zriku, and the dalet avodas by a mincha, which are parallel to the dalet avodas hadam by a karbon, cannot be done by Laila. So the Acharonim asked, why did Rashi have to throw in this new reason? That the reason why Shechitas HaPesach cannot be done by Laila is because the Yom Tavos Lahakaris Korban Eyem is only by Yom Velo by Laila. He should have said, because the Korban Pesach has to be brought on Yud Dalet, and if you bring it by Laila, Tezvav, it's the wrong day. So they point out, apparently Rashi thinks that the Gemara says in Chulin that even though for Shabbos and Yontif and Yom Kippur, the din is Hayom Halach Achar HaLaila, all the holidays go from sundown to sundown, when it says a Kachavim, that's the beginning of the next day, and goes to the next day, says a Kachavim. But in Kachim, the Gemara says, it's the reverse. It's HaLaila Halach Achar HaYon. So when you bring a Korban Chatos or a Korban Oshim or a Korban Tod, you eat it Yom B'Laila. Why Yom B'Laila? Because the Laila is Halach Achar HaYon. So apparently Rashi thinks over here that if you would have brought the Korban Pesach Balayla Leil Tezvav, it would be really considered Yudalit. For the purpose of Korbanos, Leil HaSeder is still considered Yudalit. So what's so bad? So it's Yudalit, so why can't you bring the Korban Pesach Balayla? So the answer is because Bayom, Yom Tzavasu Bayom Velo Balayla. So Rashi holds that Psul Bayom Velo Balayla, that doesn't apply to Afiyas HaMatzis. You can bake Matzis Leil HaSeder, that's baking the matzahs Leil HaSeder is theoretically it's the correct man for HaKrovas HaPesach also. Except Balayla, that's a din in Korbanos. You can't be Makav Korbanos Balayla. But Afiyas HaMatzah Balayla is good. But it's the wrong man. No, it's the right man. Leil HaSeder is really Yom Yudalit. Yom Yudalit Echter HaTzoyis means till all night long is okay. And that was Rashi's practice. They used to bake the matzahs when our Pesach was called the Yiz B'Shabbos. They baked the matzahs Leil HaSeder. But in fact,
they don't be good, according to this part.
Which day would be good?
Any day of the week. You wait until night, it still belongs to your Zelot. Let's say first, Monday night is the first day. According to what we just said,
Any Pesach.
It would be good to bake them, okay to bake them out at night.
Yeah, except that you want to start to say that it takes a long time.
It's practical, but
it's so if it's Matzoi Shabbos, the Rashmi Shans insists that you have to bake them out as Balav. They had a problem, if you look in the Sefer HaParnas, that's one of the Talmidim of the Balei HaTosfos said, they write, the Jews most of the time didn't have their own ovens to bake, so they had to rent by Goyim, like the Rabban had to walk down the block and rent it right. So some of the Goyim were very frum, Catholics. They wouldn't allow Amir Eliyakim someday to do Malacha, so they wouldn't rent out their ovens to the Jews. We're not allowed to bake on Sunday. Shvisus came. So not only would they not bake, and by them, their Sunday began Matzoi Shabbos. Their Sunday began Matzoi Shabbos, so they wouldn't bake, and they wouldn't let any Jews bake using their ovens either. So how were the Jews going to bake? So the Sefer Panis writes, they would always get a guy who wasn't so frum. They would bribe him, and everybody had to take turns baking the matzah in his oven, and they didn't begin to bake the matzah till after Chatzos. They didn't begin the seder till after Chatzos. It took forever to bake all the matzahs when Erev Pesach Chol is b'Shabbos. So they had to bribe one guy. There was always one guy who wasn't so frum. They had to bribe him.
The more matzah on his man ha'afil.
Yes. No, so those who shown didn't hold from the Chatzos. Okay. They were not marked on the Chatzos. So there's only going. That's what they said. And the Rashi, and the only reason why you can't bring the Korban Pesach Balayla is because the general din b'yom savos alakavus kavim. That's what the Achrenim point out, the deal on the Rashi, and that's the practice that Rashi and the Balayla Tosfos had, to bake the matzahs leil haseder when Erev Pesach Cholius b'Shabbos. So if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, it says when Erev Pesach is Cholius b'Shabbos, so obviously you don't bake the matzahs on Shabbos. So it says the Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote this. Rashi Mishans doesn't quote this. This was a common practice in France and Germany in the days of the Balei HaTosfos to bake the matzahs. Leil HaSeder doesn't say that. It says you bake the matzahs on Erev Shabbos. That's where the Vilna Gaon makes fun. That's when he literally, what are you talking about? You can't bring the Korban Pesach on Erev Shabbos. So the whole thing doesn't make any sense. So that's where Rav Soloveitchik used to live. The Vilna Gaon lives at that practice that you bake the matzahs Erev Shabbos after Chatzos. What? Erev Shabbos after Chatzos. What do you accomplish? The guy has chametz in the house. You can still eat chametz every Shabbos in the afternoon. You can eat chametz leil Shabbos also. Shabbos morning you can eat chametz. So what is he baking the matzah?
The process of why did you need the Erev Pesach Cholius to Shabbos? This is the
Cholamoid matzah. Right. The simple reading of the Tosefta is the way it's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, that you bake the matzah for the Seder and the Erev Shabbos in the afternoon. No. The Vilna Gaon says it goes on correct. The Gaon says the Pashup shot, like you said. The matzahs you're going to use for the Seder, you bake on Erev Shabbos. Yeah. Matzahs for the Seder.
Bake it on Thursday too.
Bake it on Thursday. Okay. But they have chametz around the house that they didn't want. Yeah.
Do you know when that Tosefta is?
I don't remember. It's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. It's a Tosefta Mesachim. Right. Yeah, okay. But why do you bake matzahs every year on Erev Pesach after Chatzos? Burn the chametz in the morning that we have a good explanation. Why do you bake the matzahs on Erev Pesach after Chatzos? Why should you do that? I really had in mind to talk about the Shvei Ramah, but I see time will not permit. Maybe I'll say Al Regel Achas. Okay, what do you do for Shabbos this year on Erev Pesach? So the Tosfos on Tzadik Tes on the days raises the issue. It says you're not supposed to eat a meal on Erev Pesach Samach L'Mincha Ketana. So Tosfos says, what are you talking about? What can he eat? Chametz is out of the question. He had to stop eating chametz in the morning. Matzah, the Yerushalmi says, you're not permitted to eat matzah the whole Erev Pesach. So if you can't eat chametz, you can't eat matzah. There's nothing to eat. Have a snack, a nash you may have. Minin Tagimi you may have on Erev Pesach Samach L'Mincha Ketana. So what is it referring to? So Tosfos says, oh, it must be talking about matzah Ashira. The matzah shira is not kosher to be eaten the chayvosis. The matzah shira may eat on Erev Pesach, but you're not allowed to eat a meal with matzah shira samach l'mincha ketana. So many people had the practice to daven mincha early on the Erev Pesach, Chol Yehud B'Shabbos. You daven mincha at 1:45 minyan, and then you go home and you eat shalosh shudas, and you have matzah shira, you have egg matzah. So Rav Soloveitchik was not happy with that practice because of the Rambam, whose opinion is not quoted in Shulchan Aruch. The Rambam says that matzah shira is possible, only applies in the four cases that the Gemara has, on Lamed Vav and Aleph. It was losh the matzah, the yayin shemen dvash acholov. Only one of these dalid mashkin. But the Rambam writes, if you have egg matzahs, it's kosher to use it for leil haseder. That's not the accepted opinion. But that's what the Rambam writes. Matzah shenei losha b'mei peris is good for shmura matzah. Only if it's yayin shemen dvash acholov, it's not acceptable. So since according to the Rambam, the egg matzahs are kosher for the mitzvah leil haseder, the Rav Soloveitchik didn't want to eat egg matzahs on Erev Pesach because Eichel Matzah b'Erev Pesach is prohibited. So a couple of years ago, the last time Erev Pesach fell on Shabbos, and one of the matzah companies decided to have an einfall. So they baked egg matzahs with wine. And he wrote in big letters that these egg matzahs have wine. So even according to the Rambam, it's possible. So even the Rambam would agree that you can use it. So I just want to say, what is the reason to Archal Shulchan Aruch? No one understands. It's a deep, dark secret. It's a mystery. Why did the Rambam take the Gemara so literally? Only these four mashkin, Yayin Shem and Vashu Cholov, and Egg Matzah is good. Why is only this is Matzah Shir and that's not Matzah Shir? What's the logic behind it? So Archal Shulchan throws up these things. He can't figure it out. He says maybe because these mashkin have some chashivas. He doesn't understand why. So the Avnei Nezer has an Iluyisha interpretation. Avnei Nezer is always Iluyish, always very sharp. Never anything bland, always very sharp. So he says, there is a machlekes hatanoim, if you have a long Italian bread, and an odom tummy touches it at one end, so we have a rule, maga b'miktosik and maga b'kuloi, so you metami the whole loaf of bread. Unless it's sliced already, so I touch this slice, and this slice is tummy, and the rest is not. But if it's one long bread, it's chibur, it's one chibur, and maga b'miktosik and maga b'kuloi. What if the long Italian bread doesn't have any water in it? It was nilosh b'mei peiris. Do you say may Paris make a chibur or not? So that's a machloekes satanoim. If you have a loaf of bread that was nearest may Paris, but you fly. So the Yerushalmi says in Maseches Chala that machloekes satanoim is the root of another machloekes, is identical with another machloekes satanoim. Is the rechiv hafroshes chala if you make cake or cookies without any mayim? I made only with may Paris. Because in order to be chayv in afrosh eschal, you have to have a tziruf of mem gimel beitz and mechomish beitz. So you have to have so much dough should be mitzuref yachad. So is mei peris mitzaref anat? So the Yishalmi says that's the same achlekes hatanoim, where the mei peris makes one chibur so that you should apply magim mitzaref kemagim bekula by the kabbalah stumah. So how does the Rambam paskin is unclear. The Rambam in Mishneh Torah doesn't say anything explicit. So the Avnei Nezer claims, based on Pirush Hamishnah, he thinks that the Rambam paskin that it's not mitzaref, that May Paris is not mitzaref. So he says, Memela, we understand why the Rambam sheet is that it's only called matzah shir if it's one of the four mashkin. Why? So he quotes the Tosfos, what if you have a shmura matzah and you smear on a little jam? Does that make it into matzah shir? The Tosfos says, no, it wasn't, it's already matzah, it wasn't baked with the jam. It's only called matzah shir if you baked it with some ashiras in it. If you're going to have a lot of jam smeared on, so then it may be that you're not yet to the mitzvah matzah for a different reason. The Gemara says if you eat matzah with a dvar hashus simultaneously, so then also dvar hashus and mevatel dvar mitzvah. That's a different consideration. But if you just have a light smear of jam, it's not going to be mevatel. And it's not called matzah shir because it's not connected. So what if I made egg matzahs? I have the apple cider with the eggs mixed in when I bake the dough. Is that taka connected? Or do you say, no, it's just sitting there. It's not connected. So the Avnei Nezer says it depends on this machlokes satanoim. If you have Isus and Elosha, the May Peris, if it's mechaber, if the May Peris are mechaber, all of the dough together, all the flour together, then it's mitztaref and it's mischaber. So you have, it's called Isus and Elosha with May Peris, and then it'll be a matzah shir. But he thinks the Rambam paskins that May Peris is not mechaber. And he thinks that the Rambam paskins that it's not chayv in afrash eschal. Isus shen eloishim and meipes machlokes satanoim. So the meil over here, it's like smearing on jam on the outside. So the only things that would be mechaber would be other mashkim other than water that are from the zayin mashkim. The zayin mashkim are mechaber that everybody agrees. So what are the four mashkin that are from the list of the Zayin mashkin? Yain, Shemen, Vash, and Cholov. These are from the Zayin mashkin that are mechaber. So since they are mechaber, the Isa, so it's mitztarif to the Isa, so that's called matashir. There are Zayin mashkin that are officially mechaber. So two of them are Mayim and Tau. So Mayim and Tau, that's the regular matter. That's
not
the third one is Dam. Dam is a Terei, so you can't use it anyway. So two of the Zayin Mashkin are matzah. And one of them is Dam, there's nothing to discuss. He only left with four. So he said, it's not a deep, dark secret why the Rambam only holds these four. He says, the Rambam goes with Shitasa. It's quite a harif. Okay. I have to apologize. Next Thursday, I'm going to be dancing Aftzei Chasanis. Two different Talmidim are getting married, so I have to go to the weddings. And then the Thursday after is the big Aspana. So that's delicious.